Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, broadcasting from my bright red desk, where it is 11 o'clock on June 25th, 2014. Normally, there's three of us here. Right now, I'm a solo gal. Heather is flying across the country, heading back from visiting her daughter and grandbabies, and her plane got delayed, so she's delayed, so she may join us, probably won't, and she will be missing for the next 2 weeks as she and her partner Ren are heading off to a fire dance, because Ren is part Indian, so they get to go to fire dances, which they always have a great time at. And Mark, I don't know where he is, but he is supposed to show up, so we'll see if he calls in or arrives. I'll be watching the phone for his number to appear. And what we do here on the weekly, not the weekly weather, on Access Astrology, is we talk to you about the week ahead and how you can work with it and understand it and hang out with it. And we also take calls from listeners around what your questions are around astrology or around how things are working in the world. So we have a lot going on in the heavens, but it's kind of calming down and getting into a more pleasant space, which is always helpful. You know, it's been kind of a hellacious, difficult, hellacious, hard, whatever word you want to use, spring. Now we're into summer. Summer started last week, and we are now heading towards the 4th of July, always the marker of the real summer. The heat happens, and we sing and dance and have hot dogs and hamburgers. And this is the week leading up to the 4th of July, which is next week. So we have a good time this week figuring out things and what all is going on. So our job this week, should we decide to accept it, is to understand all the energy that's flying in the heavens and how it affects us and how it makes us feel and helps guide us. So we have a lot of Neptune in the sky, and I always love Neptune because he's very much about the dream and the vision that we want to follow, and he invites us to try new things. So this week, both Venus and the Sun are working with Neptune, and when that happens, we have a dream come true. Now, earlier in the week, today, yesterday, a little more argumentative, a little more difficult, a little more separative. Mars was opposite Uranus, so a lot of people were arguing or having problems or kind of dealing with drama. And, you know, drama is part of life, but Mars opposite Uranus, it also is activating that cardinal cross that we were working with all April and May. And truth be told, we're still going to be working with it on and off. We've finished with the Jupiter part of it. But we're still going to be working with the square from Pluto until we get to next spring. And I think I see Mark's thing there. Mark, you there?
Hello,
yay, hi. I don't know if you saw Heather's note, but she's in flight. Her flight got delayed out of Seattle, yeah. So say who you are, and we'll go on. Neptune, you appeared as I was talking about Neptune with your lovely Pisces rising.
Oh, that's good. I come around for Neptune.
We love Neptune.
Yeah, I do. This is Mark Wolf speaking to you from New York.
Yay.
Okay.
So we were talking about Neptune at the end of the week, and then earlier in the week with the Mars-Uranus opposition, you know, was a little more exciting, a little more argumentative. And now, having had that argument, that cardinal cross that was in April, you know, the eclipse points are active again and the cross is active again. So we're back working with the April story, kind of one more story, one more time. Next week we actually have the final because the Sun goes through that cross. But with Mars opposite Uranus, it's a lot about choosing. And I always think of oppositions as asking us to look at both sides of the story and see what's possible. So Mars in Libra, which is about relationships, and Uranus in Aries, which is about freedom and independence. So there's a little conversation going on about freedom and independence versus partnering and hanging out. So how do you see it?
Yeah, that's nice, looking at both sides and trying to see what's possible. And what's possible invites us to move toward the balance point between them. And so when you're trying to balance the Uranus-Mars, you have that urge for something unexpected and unusual, trying to balance that with a need to take action, any action, and you end up with something, an action that's unexpected, and that leads toward something that you couldn't anticipate. So there's kind of a sense there of acting on the intuition, going with what seems to be in the moment the right thing to do, and it doesn't necessarily make any kind of logical sense, but instead just it makes its own sense, its very own sense.
And it's kind of got an element of breakthrough too. We have a breakthrough. I mean, interestingly, today Obama signed something about the EPA is going to investigate neonicotinoids, which they think are banned in Europe, but they think are killing all the bees. And, you know, it's like, really? You're going to tell the EPA to do? I mean, I'm hoping it's really true. You know, it wasn't an internet rumor, but I was like, wow, good, you're going to help the bees. Because it's like we have to partner with the thing that keeps us alive, and we have to maybe change something, you know. And it's understanding that part of our job with these energies is recognizing that we do have a voice, and that often very important, just one person making a change or one person doing something helps shift things. And a lot of times, I mean, I know people go, oh, you know, but I'm like, no, it's important. We all matter. We're all on Earth for a reason. And this is one of those weeks where we get to figure out why, which I always like. And, of course, the Jupiter squares the nodes of destiny this week, offering us a choice in our directions, because he's at the last degrees of Libra, or he's at the last degrees of Cancer squaring the nodes. With this aspect doesn't happen that often, and he invites us to pick. So I am always like, okay, when you're faced with a choice this week about the direction to go, partner with the expansive energy. Whichever side invites you to be more expansive, go with that. And I think, and to partner with expansion, because then you're going with a north node in Libra. What do you think about the Jupiter square in the nodes? How do you interpret that?
A lot of times it makes us aware of how the direction we want to go is building on what we've already done. And that's a good way to think of working with the nodes as well. And when Jupiter squares it, it makes that sort of directionality more obvious. And we realize, oh, you know, I do have some experience, and it can help me to go in the direction that I want to go. So it gives us a moment to sort of look at our life and see how it adds up so far. Say, what have I got so far? And how can I set a direction on that?
Right.
And Jupiter will kind of line things up for us. So for a moment, we can kind of see how there's something that makes sense in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time we just kind of muddle through.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, we say, oh, well, the reason that I went here and then went there and then did this and then did that is, you know, looking back, it all makes sense. But in the moment, you don't know.
Right.
And this is one of those times when you can actually see it as you do it. You say, oh, given where I've been, I can, you know, use something to go where I want to go.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. It you know, the whole muddle through part. I know when I first discovered astrology, one of the things I was like, well, why didn't we learn this in first grade, like math? You know, this makes the world make sense. There's seasons in our life. There's moments of choice. There actually is a map. Holy cow. And it's not, you know, it's not like you have to do this or that, but it's kind of a guidance system. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, when I do a reading with someone and we talk about the earlier choices they made in the same cycle, their eyes kind of get big and they go, wow, this really works, doesn't it? And it's like, yeah. And so this week, with that conscious choice, and Jupiter, of course, in his exaltation once every 12 years, doesn't square the nodes that often, you know. So you're making a choice for expansion or for departure, separation, loss, not getting what you want. So I would encourage expansion when faced with that choice this week. And part of it may be the enlightenment and the awakening of the Mars-Uranus opposition that says, oh, wow, you know, we're really actually seeing stuff and figuring that out. And then we also have a lovely new moon at 5 Cancer on Friday at 4:08 in the morning, which means we're in the dark of the moon now, so it's an excellent time to release things. Mercury still retrograde, still inviting us to visit our ghosts. I know I heard from a few of my ghosts, Mark.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. I did. One guy I haven't heard from in, I don't know, he moved to South Carolina, and now he's moved to San Francisco, so now I just heard from him today. I was like, oh, hi, how are you? But at any rate, so it's been a while, and he just moved on May 1st. And, you know, ghosts from the past, people that you haven't talked to, ideas that you haven't run into, or books that you heard about but you bought and you never read. It's Mercury retrograde. It returns things to us and asks us to look at them again. And you always do that retrograde thing. You have a great definition of the retrograde. So you want to share it with our listeners?
I forgot. Give me a hint.
The whole consciousness thing. The going backwards and looking again.
Yeah.
And the book lady, the one that wrote the book that you tell that story about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't remember?
No.
Mercury's retrograde. Well, okay, that works, you know.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, I know
retrograde
in my case,
is a good thing.
Mercury retrograde. I know in my case this weekend, tick, tick, boom is happening here in New York. For anybody in the tri-state area who is wanting to know how to do your Saturn, it's a wonderful off-Broadway show that opened around 9/11. And then closed because 9/11 happened near it. It was down at the Jane Street Theater downtown, near where the Titanic landed, interestingly. And it's a lovely story about someone processing their Saturn return via music. And so I'm going to be seeing a lot of people I haven't seen in many years at the concert. It's a play kind of thing on Saturday night. But I recommend it. It's Tick, Tick, Boom by the Encores at City Center. And there are still tickets available. But it's definitely a Saturn play. So part of what Mercury does is he asks us to look back at our lives and to inquire about ourselves. And so Mark tells this wonderful story about a lady who signed a book contract during Mercury retrograde. It's bad when I know his stories and he doesn't remember them.
Yeah.
That means we've been working together for a long time. And the woman subsequently published the book and said, man, if I'd known all the work I was going to have to do, when I signed the book, I don't know that I would have done it. And Mark
That's
was
right.
like, well,
yeah.
you know, you remember it now?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. I mean, I'm not even your wife, and I remember your stories. This is a good thing.
Right.
You wanted to finish it?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
it turns out that because she signed the contract with the retrograde Mercury, it ended up being exactly what she needed to do, which was to rewrite. She signed the book having written the first draft. And then she ended up having to do a whole new draft. And that made the book much better. She was glad mm-hmm. that she did that, but it was more than she bargained for. She didn't realize how much work had to be done to do the rewrite that it needed. And so I use that to illustrate that we don't need to run away from retrograde Mercury, but mm-hmm. instead use it for what it's meant to be for. And work with it.
And embrace it as an opportunity, yeah.
Yeah.
To revisit and revise and make it better, yeah.
Yeah.
Or to check things that you thought were working well, and you're kind of like, well, that's not happening. How come that's not happening? And that's part of the story where we kind of go, oh, okay. You know,
right.
Where are we going with it? Yeah. So, yeah, it's important. And retrogrades do invite us to review. And, so, you know, Mars is going forward, but Mercury does go forward as of next week on the 1st, I think it goes direct. And then last but not least, what I was kind of starting to talk about when Mark came in on the Neptune, on Sunday and over the weekend as we get towards, you know, the moon is in Cancer. So it's going to have a lovely aspect to Neptune, a trine, which is about emotional connection and emotional relationships. That's on Friday. And then the Sun trines Neptune on Sunday, and Venus squares Neptune. So this is a really great weekend to fall in love or to meet someone that is just delicious, because it's a new moon in Cancer and a lovely Jupiter-Moon aspect. So you can see Jupiter up there in the sky. I don't think we're going to see the moon as a crescent, but the sky should be really empty because of the new moon. And the union of Venus and the moon and Jupiter and Neptune makes it for just a really delicious, emotionally ripe time. So it's a great weekend for relationships and for relationships to start and to culminate. And the aspect on Saturday is a conjunction to Jupiter, and then the Leo moon on Sunday, the aspect on that one, a little harder, but not bad. It's a sextile to Mercury. But, yeah, it's just delicious. So, you know, get out, go to parties, go say hi to people, connect, relate, have a good time, and just realize that the emotions and the feelings are really big. So, you have anything to say about the Mercury-Neptune before we take some callers? Or the, not the Mercury-Neptune, the Sun-Neptune,
no,
Venus-Neptune,
Sun-Neptune.
Moon-Neptune, Jupiter-Neptune,
woo! Yeah, they're
well,
all good.
Jupiter,
it brings, makes Neptune really big. It will also heighten our consciousness of people who are in need.
Yes.
Neptune covers that, so and it raises a sense of compassion. So we may see opportunities and take opportunities to help people that are less fortunate.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take a call. It looks like a Skype caller. And
okay.
Anything else you want to add before we take calls from our listeners about the week?
No, I think that pretty well covers it.
Okay. I don't want to be bossy. You know, working on my Mars. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So Skype caller, you're on the air. Can we help you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You got low, but I can hear you. I'm going from northeastern Maine down to Long Island next weekend.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know how my trip is going to look for me.
Next weekend, meaning the 28th, coming this weekend? Or the weekend of the 4th of July?
No,
the 5th, actually.
The 4th and 5th of July?
The weekend after the coming one.
Yeah, the 5th of July I'm going down, coming back.
That's
about
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the aspects on Saturday are the moon in Libra with a lovely closing aspect of a square to Jupiter. So that's actually got some nice stuff. There looks to be a little bit of car problems around 1:46 in the afternoon. So just kind of be aware of traffic jams then. So kind of look to avoid major cities around then, or there could be some kind of breakup. If you can get up bright and early, and Maine is like 4 or 5 hours, right, to get to Long Island?
Yes, I'm taking the Amtrak.
Oh, you're doing the Amtrak. Oh, that's fine. Because riding with people that are partying, I think that sounds good. And what time is your train?
8:50 in the morning. Connects,
okay.
At 11:30 in the morning.
Okay. Well, there's nice aspects for
train. Yeah, the whole
nice aspects for traveling. Yeah, Saturday has really nice aspects for traveling, especially with the conjunction of the trine to Mercury. Mercury's going direct, and Moon in Libra should be a nice people that you can talk to and ride with on the train. So we both have a good safe trip. All right, and next caller. Hi, 631. You're on the air. What's your question?
Hi, Ann. Hi, Mark. It's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
You could tell me if you can. Is there anything that I should know about in my chart?
Anything you should
know.
I know, yeah. Okay, so you're June
29. I think you know where I'm coming from, right?
Yep, June 29, 1959. at 11:10 p.m. in Queens. So,
yeah. And Mark, I did remember your story.
You remember that?
I did. I really did.
Yeah. It's a good story. I like that story. I think it helps people really understand stuff. Okay, I think the thing that, you know, we're really looking at, 5 months ago you had a progressed new moon, or actually 4 months ago, the progressed moon in Taurus got to your natal moon in Taurus, which started a new emotional cycle, especially around your children and your work and your health. Next couple of weeks, Jupiter goes into Leo, and he's going to go through your pile of stuff in the sixth house, which is how you're valued, and a lot of energy around communication and home and taking action and changing. You're about to have a birthday, actually, in a couple of days, on June 29th. So that's got a Virgo moon this year for your solar return. Nope, that's July I'm in. I'm sorry. June 29th has a Leo moon. So your solar return this year has a nice Leo moon. The thing I'm seeing is the progressed sun 2 months ago went into Virgo. So that really shifted how you felt about a lot of things. And that's starting a new 30-year cycle. So I think you're going to find that you're changing. You know, before you were a Leo, which was all about love, Virgo's a lot more about service and what can I fix and what can I. And that whole serenity prayer, you know, the wisdom to know the difference. Chart's very active, but I'm going to be interested to see how that Jupiter going through the second house manifests, because that's in the second house of your son's self-worth. So he may actually figure some stuff out that would be very important. Mark, you got anything you want to say?
I'm going to be honest with you, and he started using again.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, yeah, with the Neptune there. But with the Jupiter coming to Mercury and Jupiter coming to Uranus, that may be a key for him to stop, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or run into some issues with the law, again, that kind of plunk him in situations he doesn't really want to be in, but that help keep him sober. The Jupiter in the first gives us...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. The Jupiter in the first transit gives a sense of grandiosity and nothing can touch me. And then as it goes through the second house and it gets to Mercury, Mercury's the ruler of the 12th house of jail. So that's you know, helps him figure out what his priorities are.
So you see him going to jail?
Probably going back, yeah. Jail or the hospital, you know. But that may be the thing that sobers him up. And that's going to be around the 3rd of August. You want to watch the beginning of August with him.
Okay, but you could tell me straight up. Do you see me losing him? You know,
His son isn't. Your son is in the fifth house. He is, you know, kind of like Destructo, you know, Destructo boy. But he doesn't actually die. You know,
I'm asking that because a friend of mine, her son, she found him dead last night in his bed.
Sorry.
It's bringing up a lot of, you know.
Yeah. A lot of emotional issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, do you see anything? I don't, but I'm, you know, I also like you, so I may not, you know, like when you like somebody, you don't always see things. Mark, do you see anything?
Yeah,
not that
really,
you don't like Debbie.
Really not, but,
but,
yeah, but work with, you know, work with that new sense of Virgo with the progressed sun moving into Virgo and, you know, do what you can do and then let go of the results because you really don't know where it'll go, and this is your opportunity to be with him, but don't enable, you know, but be supportive, but only to what's appropriate. And if you know something is not going to help him, then you don't do it.
Do you see jail as well, Mark?
There's a good chance.
Not for me, but for him.
It's hard to know though whether it's jail or hospital.
A hospital,
you know,
rehab. 12th house is rehab too.
Yeah, some kind of institution. And, you know, probably the rehab would be the best case.
Well, they I don't know if you guys know this, but they did away with rehabs now.
Oh, yeah?
In New York?
Yeah.
What are they doing, just throwing them in jail?
Just detox now.
Detox,
and outpatient.
Okay.
Then
yeah,
the insurance
mental health
companies are no longer paying for rehabs.
Wow. Mm. No, I didn't know that.
Governor Cuomo's trying to fight that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just, you know, I mean, it's craziness.
Yeah.
It's, you can't do it just by drying them out. They got to structurally rebuild.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just did your solar return. So your solar return is 6:03 in the morning, and I'm looking at it, and it's showing, you know, very strong stuff with him in jail or rehab or hospital or something. You know, a lot of planets in the 12th. I, you know, bring him to the kid's funeral that just died.
He took off.
Oh, he took off.
I don't know where he is. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you're showing Jupiter moon, and Venus is in Gemini, so he's back by the end of August, if he's gone for a while, because
mm-hmm.
your solar return is Uranus, him missing. And then August is Venus, he's back. So he's back in August, probably 37 plus 30 plus 30 plus 7. So 74 days from now, from your birthday, you should see him again, if not before that, which isn't that long, but that's basically the summer. And, I don't think he's dying. He's not got planets that say he's dying in your solar return either. I think it's just really hard, you know, for you.
Yeah.
You know, this is a hard one.
Yeah,
but he's not
really
showing
his
dying. He's showing his Saturn retrograde in the 5th. So this is a year for him to face the consequences of his actions. But I don't think he's leaving. You're not showing the death of a child in your chart,
okay.
Which usually is a pretty big picture. Well, but I know
that,
having
that
a friend's
you,
child
you can really
die.
You see that in a chart?
You can see pretty crappy aspects when you're not having them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
At least from my perspective. Mark, do you see him? I don't see anything.
No, no.
Now, the sun's death is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 houses from the child's house. You don't have any planets in there. Nothing going on in that house. So there is stuff going on in the jailhouse, and there is stuff going on in the learning how to communicate in a different way, you know, energy house. And, you know, that's helpful. I mean, your chart is showing that you're worried about death, but his chart's not showing that he's dying. It's showing that you're worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's good. I mean, it does show him having some liver issues this year. But that's a health issue. That's more of a function of the drug use. Right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He
might have some liver issues that are pretty bad, either Hep C or, actually he's showing kind of a Hep C aspect, like an inflammation of the liver, which may actually help him have a little bit more of a come-to-Jesus moment because he's not able to kind of shake it off like he normally does.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you see any good aspects for me?
Yeah, it looks like you got, you know, your health is improving. You're getting some shifts in your health with Jupiter going through your 6th, which is good. And with the progressed sun now into the 7th house, there's a little more opportunity for you to get out and not feel
and
so wrong.
And going into Virgo.
It starts a new 30-year cycle around changing how you're doing. And Mercury is in a nice position in there. So that's good. Yeah, Mark, do you see anything?
Nothing's standing out too strongly, no. No,
but the shift
overall,
into Virgo is, yeah, the shift into Virgo is a huge change. And that, I think, was, when you last called and you were feeling like you just couldn't do it anymore, that was the shift. It's like, I can't do this. And you can love them with Leo, but with Virgo, there's just an awareness of what the limitations are. But,
so what does that mean, that I take on more Virgo traits now instead of Cancerian traits?
Yeah, they make sense to you. It's something, it's like a new set of tools in your toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get the Virgo tools.
Right. We progress through seasons. You know, so you were born a Cancer. You've just spent 30 years as a Leo. Now you're going to do 30 years as a Virgo. So Virgo, focus is... You'll be like me.
I'm going to be like
you. Yeah, that's
you're going to be there. It's like a Virgo land. Yeah, it's good. It all works. And the British lady has spoken, so we got to go. But this is Ann Ortley saying goodbye. And Mark?
Mark Waltz saying goodbye. See you next
and
week.
And Heather's flying, so she's flying
That's
home.
Right.
And she's saying hello and goodbye. So we'll be here next week. And Mark will run the show then. Yay!
All right. Thanks.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, folks, have a great week. And remember,
bye.
Neptune, fall in love this weekend.
Right.
It's the rapture.
Yeah.
Go
fall
dancing.
In love all
Go
over
meet
again.
Somebody cute. Yeah, fall in love all over again. All right.
Okay.
It's nice to know they remember. Other people remember your stories too, Mark. It's not the only me, you know. It's good.
Right.
Debbie
That's
remembers
good.
It too. Yeah. All right. So rockin', folks. Have a great week. We'll
okay.
talk to you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.